This is November 12th, 2019, hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Board members present this morning are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. First case before the board this morning is property owned by Michael Doney, petition 19001001 for account 20118-1000. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Michael Doney in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I know you've been in before, but I still have to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019.
Yes, sir.
Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome.
Right.
You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state.
Okay.
The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal.
Okay.
So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. As you know, I was just here a month ago. We were at $466,000. You guys came back at $400,000, which I accepted. It was 6%. I mean, I thought it was a little higher, but you know what? I'm going to go with you guys because my experiences with the assessor's office have not been very positive. As you can see, the ones that I submitted for this year reflected homes that were within my area, not unlike the $466,000 of last year, which represented homes outside of my area. One of them represents a home that's actually just down the street from me, built in 1950, and then I had another home that was at built in 1996. So they kind of got the high and the low, I mean, in terms of years, and they were kind of similar in times of difference from my own home. One came in at 208, and the other one came in at 410. Now, I think my contention here was that my home was worth 355, but I reevaluated that to 370. Is that correct?
I guess 360.
360 or 370?
No, it's 370 on his form. The assessor has 360.
Yeah, okay.
It's 370 on his form.
Well, I will say that it's blowing me away that they've actually lowered my taxes this year $3,000 to 463. Even though you guys came back at 400 because they didn't challenge it. See? You guys are seeing where I'm coming from. So, whereas they went up 25%, you guys, I think, came up 6% or 6.6% from their evaluation. So, my main contention here is that mine should reflect the same, a reduction as well. So whether it was 390 or somewhere in there, because I accepted your 400 and then I've adjusted. Unfortunately, I couldn't change any of this because I'd already submitted this paperwork and I had accepted your 400,000 at the last assessment. But they lowered it to 463 from 466 of 18. So I thought that mine should reflect the 400,000 and then a reduction from there based about 390. That was my contention. I didn't have a chance to change any of the numbers because obviously I submitted all this.
So you're asking earlier for 390 now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because I'm falling in line with your 400 and I thought, you know what, that was pretty fair. At least you guys dealt with me honestly. So,
and what's the $10,000 off for?
Well, because it would reflect their reduction as well, and plus it would also fall in line with the comps I had.
Oh, okay.
So, because one of my comps obviously was built in 1950, they're on much larger acreage than mine. One is 5.06, one is 5 acres even, and one is 5.71, whereas mine's 3 acres. So I thought that was pretty comparable in terms of, mine's only 3, so, you know, you look at what 2 acres is worth in Clark County, it would probably be even lower, but I'm not going to ask for more than what I think is reasonable.
Where are you located? You're up at 227? 227.
You know where the fire station is up there in Ventersburg? Are you familiar with that? I actually live right next door to there.
I was just up there the other day. Are you back from the store?
No. You know where, if you were to continue on 209th, I think it is?
From the store?
Yeah, I'm west of the store.
Okay, so you're closer than...
Well, you know when you're on Risto and the road kind of goes like this?
Yeah.
And you cross those two small bridges? On that next turn to your left. I don't know, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, you guys obviously lowered me down to 400, which I do appreciate. And then I looked at some of theirs, and here we went again with homes that were similar to what I last came in with, homes that didn't even seem to reflect, homes that were fairly close to me. One is right down the street from me. So, at least mine were in the general neighborhood. These, again, were not. And if my encounter with Mr. Nordwick is, they didn't even show up again today, so.
No, they never. They don't come to me here.
Oh, they don't? Oh, no. Okay.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
And one thing I want to say, too, is, you know, I read this, you know, the assessor's records are assumed to be correct. For the subject property, they're assumed to be correct. And we know what happens when we assume. So I just think it's unfortunate that we keep having to do this. I wouldn't waste your time. I just think that we're out of line. And like I said, I do this every time I walk in. I bought the house in 1996 for $180,000. It was assessed at that time at $214,000. I was already $34,000 behind the eight ball.
Got it.
So
okay.
Sound good?
Thanks for coming in.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
I know you never want to see me again. That's okay. If I'd have been smart, I'd have got you coffees on my way in, but I don't drink coffee. Thanks, guys.
That's what we're here for.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you. Close the hearing.
Okay. This is a continuation of the November 12th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board at this point is a property owned by Hannah Honda Real Property. This is petition 180-38804 for account 110085888. Petition 180-38904 for account number 160552000. And petition number 180-39004 for account number 162916000. Do you also want me to read in the next group? Okay, and then the other two properties are owned by Dale and Lita Anderson, Hannah Motor Company. Petition 180-41704 for account 110085700. And petition number 180-41804 for account number 110085710. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Well, okay. Attendees at the previous hearings on this day have indicated that there was information not submitted by the assessor's office, and the information that we got was very rudimentary, and both the appellant and the assessor representatives agreed that we should just review the information that's available in the packets and make our decisions on all of these issues, all of these cases. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
All right, cool.
Okay. This is a continuation of the 12-2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board at this point is property owned by ProCaliber Real Property LLC. This is petition 180-39504 for account number 158-098-000. We have Carla Simmons and Mary Howells in attendance for the assessor's office, and we have Wayne Tannenbaum in attendance for Pivotal Tax, acting as the agent for the property owner. Will you all three please raise your right hands to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your client's property as of January 1st, 2018, and this is 18.
Yes.
Still 18. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. And unless you have questions, so we're going to proceed with your testimony on this particular property.
All right. And you have our packet. You don't need another packet, correct?
Right.
Okay. Well, these are kind of interesting, and I won't go through everything on the the same issues, but we were here last year, and I believe the board reduced almost every property by a significant value. The county then raised the value even beyond, I believe, what the initial value was, and far above what the reduced number was. However, most of these properties were going to be actually asking for value even higher than what it was reduced to last year by the board. I believe that on our end, as far as the cost approach, obviously we're looking at a conservative number we think is conservative the prior year. I don't believe the county had much cost analysis then, and I believe that was mainly why the board decided to use our costs and go much lower. And it also made sense to us, obviously. This year, I believe that the assessor has done work on all of these properties and done their own cost approach in more detail. And after looking at their cost approach and our cost approach, we tried to come up with what we believe is, to us, the most conservative and fair values on these as possible. And as I said, many of them were coming at a higher value after seeing what they came up with and what we have than even the board decisions of the prior year. For example, this is one of the properties. Our page 2 will show you that.
Are you looking at this one? Which one?
Did I have the wrong number again? I thought it ended in 8,000. Oh, I see. There's a couple that ended in 8,000. I got it.
I looked at the first, the first one.
I was just looking at the parcel number 800.
158098, is that the first one we're doing?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so this one's a little different, I believe, because this one is...
No, that's Vern Funk, we're not doing that one.
We're doing Pro Caliber.
Pro Caliber,
has a basement.
This is the one I had, though. But why is the picture different, then?
Yeah, that's correct.
It is.
So now I'm going to show you. 158098, yeah, that one.
Okay, so I do have the correct one here.
Does it have a red car on it? Or you got a black and white picture?
Yeah, let me check. Let me check my color copy. Yes, it does have a red car on it. Okay, so we're correct.
Oh, yeah, I'm missing it. But go ahead, keep talking. Don't
okay,
wait for
so,
me.
So let me wait, because I think...
I've got the right packet, I just don't have the...
The red car?
I don't have the red... Well, I'm looking at the...
Pivotal did two of those packages like that, one for 2017 and one for 2018, so maybe,
I don't know.
I actually have, you know what, I have another copy right here, if I can give that to you.
It should be attached to your...
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought this one that was in there.
It says $395.
Okay, there we go. Okay,
right.
I got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you'll see on our page, too, that... The value, for example, last year we came here, the initial value, and this is why this matters to us. I know each year stands on its own, but it's the same basic principle of cost analysis. I think we explained last year, and I believe the assessor believes this also, that, and good thing is this year we don't have to explain why. Unfortunately or fortunately, the cost approach with dealerships is what we use. Almost all of the properties we try to use a market approach or income approach, but it's very difficult on these, and I don't need to go into reasons why, because I believe the appraiser agrees with that also, unless I need to. And then we were here on the cost approach last year. The value was $4,491,400. The board reduced the property to $2,688,578. Now, we are asking, it looks like we're asking for a value of $2,255,365. We'd like to revise that value to $3,100,000. So currently, the value placed on this, unless I'm incorrect, for this year is $4,491,400. But just keep in mind that our value we're looking for, $3,001,000, is still well above the $2,688,000 that the board decided last year. Now, we base this on, obviously, our evidence and the cost approach, but we're also looking at the appraiser's evidence and trying to come up with a fair value. And I'll explain how we got to our value, not only by our evidence, but on rebuttal on the appraiser's evidence. And again, we're both using the cost approach, so we're looking at improvements and land both separately as far as values.
Let me back up a minute.
Sure.
We went through this last year, and I'm not going to go through it again.
Okay.
And that is that you changed every number that you provided to us during the discussion. We have nothing to follow as a result of that. and I believe that you were cautioned to not do that again.
Oh, that's okay. No, we're going with our cost portion here. So whatever
but
our
that value, doesn't say $3,000,001. It says $2,555,000.
And I appreciate you bringing that up because in general we will now go with, and I appreciate you telling me this, we'll have to go with our value of the $2,255,365 and all the hearings, go with our cost approach. In rebuttal, we might bring up some issues that the board might decide to go with our value or a higher value. But I agree with you. Instead of doing that and changing, revising our numbers, which sometimes boards are fine with, I'm going to stick with our number as our cost approach. We're not changing anything in our cost approach. And I'll just go over our information and then some rebuttal. So I appreciate you explaining that so I don't have to do that on the other properties. But you'll notice as we talked about on our page, let me just see, you can see pictures of the property. There's the decision by the board from last year. There's map photos. There's some aerial pictures. There's pictures of the subject. And what you'll notice about this particular property is this is obviously inferior to other typical dealerships. The first thing you'll notice is the very low ceiling box type dealership. To attract customers, obviously they're superior. Most of the time dealerships are superior in construction, design, etc. to this property. This property not only, and it was also built in 1970. So when we get into looking at the Marshall and Swift as far as what type of, is this average C, is this good, is it excellent, keep in mind that when you use the highest excellent, you're talking about more of a brand new, you know, Taj Mahal type, the nicest facility. Then if you go to good level, which we'll get into in a second, then you're talking about a very nice dealership. But this is obviously not a very nice dealership, obviously, compared to other dealerships. So we're looking at, obviously, at the very most, a C average type dealership. And when I say C average on some of it, we're also looking at some of it as C low cost, because this is not even an average dealership. If you go to page 15 for our cost approach, you'll notice that what we do is we use the same thing that the assessor uses as far as you'll see a year built. You'll see an effective year. Sometimes we're at the same effective year as the appraiser, but we believe the effective year is 1985 on this particular property. Given our expertise, usually from 1970s building, it's hard to get all the way up to 1995 effective year. We've given the expected life, effective age, and the class. And we believe that the service center and storage warehouse are usually inferior type areas, so that we did give a C average. But the actual showroom, because if you look at the clear height, if you look at construction design, year built, etc., this is not even an average to us facility. We're looking at it as a C low cost, which is $70 a square foot replacement cost new. We can go into the details, which we will, about how we arrive, and I think we did it the prior year, which we won't go over on every property. If we can just go over on this first one, mainly how we got, you know, our class, our type, depreciation, etc., I think that would definitely help the board. Now, we come up with a replacement cost new on this particular property of $1,469,110. By the way, that also includes two things. It includes asphalt, etc., which we have as extra features, and it includes a multiplier. The regional multiplier you'll notice we have is 1.09. Very typically, and what we do is we try to value these typically on how appraisers or other counties or ourselves would value dealerships. One of the things you want to add to a dealership, to be fair, is the regional multiplier. So this 1.09 does not help us at all. It actually multiplies, as you can see, the replacement cost new, less depreciation, by 1.09. Well, the regional multiplier is basically, what is this area as far as labor, materials, etc.? Is this an area that costs more to build? So we don't not include that. It's not to our benefit. We include the multiplier. We include the extra features. We include replacement cost new, depreciation, all the factors needed to come up with our CNLD, which is the replacement cost new, less depreciation. And before we get into land, let me just show you, and I'm not going to go over this on everyone. There are some properties we might need to go over specifics on this.
Let me backtrack on this. You threw out a number that was different than what's on the sheet.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what number? Do we have it? Are you sure?
I think the cost to rebuild, whatever you call that.
What number do you have on the...
1339.
Yes, 1339-10, exactly. That's the number we take, 1339-10. We've also added extra features, which is the pavement, et cetera, to get the 1,469,410. So that is correct. We do have that, and then we added extra features. And then we would take...
The 1,469 is the adjusted land value, isn't it?
No, that's the... RCNLD is a replacement cost.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Never mind. Okay.
And then, so we took that, and obviously we took the adjusted land value, and we got a value of $2,255,365. But before I get into the land value, because that is a completely separate issue, we do have the following pages, and I won't go over this on everyone as I was explaining, but on some of these it is important to go over why we got to what we got to. If you look at showrooms.
Page 16 now? Or
yes, I'm sorry. Page 16, thank you. If you look at showrooms, one of the interesting things is that we're coming in for most of the dealerships as C average at 102 replacement cost new before on showrooms, before any depreciation. Now, there is, on most of the dealerships, but on this particular one, this is the only one, just so you know, that we've come in at low cost C, because you'll notice the vast difference between this one and the typical dealerships as far as construction, et cetera. I mean, if you look at the low cost brick, block, tilt up, et cetera, this is more of a low ceiling retail, if that type property, but they've turned it into what is to us a low cost built in 1970 facility. So keep in mind that if you look to the right, the C low cost is $70 a square foot before depreciation. But that is the only property that we have as low cost. And I'll get back to the, when we get into another typical dealership as far as the other C average and C good. You have the auto service centers here, same thing. For those, we use C average. And then you have, on page 18 it would be, we actually, if we have any discrepancy, we're going to get into this more too, but on page about 18 is life expectancy guidelines. Sorry, there's no actual page numbers. Yeah, sorry about that. But on the right side,
it's to 18 on the bottom down here.
Oh, we do have it?
It's right there.
Oh, you're right. At the very, that's a good catch.
Lower left.
Well, I didn't even see that.
Oh, yeah, I got to see it next time or something else.
Thank you. So then, yeah, I don't know why those page numbers went there, but to the right, you'll see eventually towards the bottom, it'll say showrooms. Say showrooms good and excellent, showroom average, showroom low cost. And then it'll give across the way, what is the life expectancy? And this is going to be a big issue. Well, not a big issue, but one of the issues, obviously, that we have. There's two main issues, to be honest, today, without getting too complicated on the improvements. One is, what are they using per square foot before depreciation, and are they putting enough depreciation on it? So we'll get into, obviously, are they putting too high of a value on this property as far as the building goes, but this has to do with depreciation. If you notice, there's a big difference between, for example, the average, you know, C type and excellent. I mean, excellent, you've got 45 years, but I believe low cost 35. So for this one, we've taken the 35-year life expectancy, and then if you turn to page 20, and by the way, page 19 is the multiplier we talked about. Page 20, and this is something we're going to refer to on certain properties. At the very top, the typical life expectancy in years. So if you take 35 years, as we're saying it should be on this particular property, and then you say effective age in years, well, we believe it's 1985, so that would be approximately 33 years, and then you have to kind of connect them. So you go down on the effective and across, down on the life expectancy and across the effective, and it's approximately 70% depreciated as far as the showroom. I know this is getting, I don't want to get too complicated at this particular point. I think the main issue is, and if you have any questions, we can go over it, is number one, we're using more depreciation than the county on this one. and we're using less number as far as the initial cost to build this particular property. That is probably the main issue in how we're coming up with such a difference. And it is such a difference because, you know, it goes from $70 replacement cost new to $100 to $140 per square foot. So that's a huge difference depending on what category you're looking at. And then depreciation, we're usually off by about 5 to 10%. So those are the two main factors. Again, if you look at the photos of this property, the type of property it is, and if you compare it to other dealerships, it's not even average, given year built, clear height, shape, construction design, etc. And that's pretty much where we're at. So that's where we're at for the improvements. Now, separately, we have obviously an issue on for land. Now, I believe on almost every single one of these, the board reduced the land value from the prior year. But not only did the county go to the value initial of last year, they went even higher on their land values. And we have a serious issue with that. We essentially are looking for the land value of our comps. But let me put it this way on this one. This one is at $945 a square foot. For 3.05 acres. We have, and I'll get to the page, that we have our land comps are on page 21. You'll notice, first of all, that this property, and I don't think we said the address yet, 10703 Northeast 4th Plain Boulevard. The first thing I can tell you is that, I believe on page 21, there's a property at on North, our comp number 4, on Northeast 4th Plains Road, that sold for $562 a square foot. That's a huge difference between the $945 a square foot of the subject. We also obviously have other commercial comps ranging in size, but this is a very important factor, the size, when we talk about our comps and their comps and how the value was raised on land. So last year it was decided by the board for $8 a square foot. They raised it to $945. There must be a basis and a reason why they've raised the land value when not only do our comps support less, but obviously the board felt so also the prior year. And here's something that I might explain a couple times, but I'll try not to explain it too much. We have given, for example, a comp here at 5.75 acres. The subject is 3.05 acres. The county has given 58, I might be off by one or two, land sales. Not one, I believe, is over 3 acres. We have dealerships and other things in here that are 4 acres, 5 acres, etc. The county is saying, we found 58 land sales. There's obviously a tremendous amount of land sales out there. But for some reason, we couldn't find one land sale over 3 acres that's similar to a lot of our comps. I find that hard to believe, especially in the fact that even on this one, we've given a comp that's 5.75 acres. But here's what gets more interesting. I just need to explain to you the deal here. Of the 58 land sales that the county gives, only 8 are between 2 and 3 acres. Most of them are much smaller and would be very difficult to compare to the subject properties, including this one, which is 3 acres. Of those 8 properties, from Auto Mall Drive area of where I believe this is located, and correct me if I'm wrong, and the other properties, I believe every one of those 8 that are 2 to 3 acres are about 4 to 6 to 7 miles away from the subject. Only one comp is within 4 miles. And that one, guess what, sold for $772. And the appraiser gives that. So their nearest comp supports a lower value at $772. The board gave it $8 a square foot. Our comp support a lower value. We gave the only similar comp as far as higher in acreage. And if I'm forgetting something, I'll have to go over it again. And obviously, I'm going to go over rebuttal specifically with their comps. And another issue is there's a discrepancy on some of these properties, which hopefully we'll get to today, where, just so the board knows, and this is very interesting, there's one of our dealerships, the smallest one on size is an acre. They've given that a $12 per square foot value. This is 3 acres at $945. So they notice that there's an economy of scale, or at least according to us, it seems like they're valuing things much higher that are less square feet. But for some reason, when it comes to their comparables and what they're looking at, you know, the value for this particular property, They've raised it instead of lowering it, given the size of the subject, our comps, and the fact they don't have any similar comps within 4 miles that are over 2 acres. It's really unfair to raise the value from $8 square foot land, given all those factors, including our comps. I'll probably do more rebuttal based on their land comps after they go over them. But on this particular property, again, we're looking for both a reduction on the improvements, being an inferior type facility, which we might go over a little more, and based on the land, based on our comps, and even to us, based on their comps also. So that's all we have for this for now.
All right, you started to say that this is worth $3.1 million. Why did it raise from what you've got? Is there an error in your calculations?
I think, and as I explained, I won't necessarily do that initially, but I believe when there are issues that are cloudy when it comes to doing costs. And if I'm willing to be so conservative and say, look, if you want to go with a little higher value on the improvements initially that the appraiser has on some of their information, and maybe we didn't include a canopy, or maybe we didn't include storage warehouse. So I've actually looked at their information, which I'll go over, and realized that no matter how you look at it to us, we don't see how you can get above $3.1 million. Do we believe it's possible to go back to $2.2 million? Yes, I mean, our evidence supports that. But the land we believe should go back to what it was. We do believe possibly the improvements might be a little higher this year. But again, I'll go over that more in specifics after.
Is this one of the details you kind of wanted to discuss with her, but you guys decided not to have the meeting because you didn't think you were ever going to agree?
We did actually have a discussion. And
because your emails kind of indicated that there's no point in this because we're never going to agree. And
well, I think that it was both, to me on both sides, it was just misleading as far as I had spoken to Lonnie Dawkins. And his idea was, look, Wayne, next year we want to visit every property, we want to measure every property, we want to do it. I'm sure we can work out the values before the hearing. And along comes them measuring, these huge values come out so much higher this year. So I said, okay, I'm going to talk to Lonnie, we're going to work stuff out. But Lonnie's not here. Lonnie's gone. And he's just still gone. So the misleading part was I thought we were going to be able to work these out back and forth.
Now you got different players, and now you're getting a different
story. Yes, and then as far as maybe the understanding the tone, that's where maybe I was frustrated. But then eventually I said, I'm sorry. I realized that maybe you do have some new information. And it comes out that, they actually do have some lower values that they're going to explain to you from their initial values this year. But I was trying to look at both sides now, and I don't think I got to the point of where we are now, meaning just within the last week or two of really looking further at their evidence and ours, and that's why I don't think we also had the time to work them out.
Okay. He mentioned that that you have some cost data. We have no cost data.
So,
just address that issue right now.
I will address that. I'm sorry. We were not prepared to submit evidence. I was on vacation when these hearings were scheduled, so we didn't make the 21-day deadline. So we submitted what was in the machine at that time because we needed to submit something. We have gone out. There were four of us that went out and spent a week. Dick Hanna was very cooperative about it. We measured every structure. We measured every section, everything out. Last year, I think when Lonnie was here, the board decided, and I read up in Marshall and Swift, that the preferred method is to break out the showroom, break out the garage, break out the office space, break out each section of the dealerships. So we went out and measured every one of these properties all throughout and broke out all of the sections. And that's where we sort of were when the hearings got scheduled. Because we were in our new construction phase, so we scheduled the measurements afterwards. So that's why I talked to Wayne, because after putting in all the data, there are changes. Of course, there are changes once you start changing any of your data around. And I wanted to talk to him about that, and you'll hear the difference in values, and all of the difference in values are due to our actually going through every dealership and breaking them apart into different sections. And I do apologize that I got these cases in August. So we're doing our best to try to get them done and done correctly.
Sorry, so the original, sorry. Let me clarify some things. The original value that was set as the assessed value when the rolls were certified by Peter were just last year's values.
What was in the machine at the time. We have to mail notices to the taxpayers. So
okay.
We had not scheduled any inspections at that time.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought the original values for this year were much higher, if that's what he's asking.
This is the same value as last year. This was their same value that they had in the computer, not the value we set on, but what they originally had in the computer.
So essentially, we just mailed it out. I know I can't submit additional evidence, but I will talk to you about what we found on each of these when we were there, and several of them I'm recommending come down because of our new data.
Just for your edification, if you got permission, if you discussed this with the appellant, you could have agreed to have that submitted.
We didn't agree. I don't believe he agrees to the information.
They had more than enough time.
Let's hear from them.
I'll start with the land and a lot of the evidence Wayne provided for me. He did talk about the nearest comparable being his comparable number 3, I believe. And it was, he had it as a 5.75 acre parcel that sold for $5 and some odd cents. This is the one on 4th Plain. And what that was is it was marketed as a 5.75 acre parcel, but that it could be portioned out into a smaller section. So what that sale actually represents is the sale of 2.36 acres for $1,407,178. Goodwill bought it, but they only bought a portion. It was a very large parcel. They did a segregation and sold off the 2.36 acres at $13.69 a square foot. So the
They bought the whole thing.
No, they did not. They agreed to purchase the 2.36 acres, which is in the northwest corner. 438 LLC segregated that out as a parcel and sold that to Goodwill. So it was originally marketed as 5.75 or flexible into other spaces. So that sale that is on 4th Plain was actually a sale for $13.69 a square foot. And that's
which one?
That's the one that Wayne was talking about.
Sale number four for his.
Where he said, you know, that he just testified that that was the one closest to our subject property on 4th Plain, though it is considerably further east.
So you're saying that's really...
It's really $13.69 a square
foot. Well, but how many acres is it?
It would be 2.36 acres is what actually sold.
Do you have a property ID number on it?
Sure, it is.
Oh, let's see. Did you look that one up, Mel?
158807-000.
It's on his land sale.
Okay.
Okay. 158807-000. That shows that purchase price.
2.34.
And 2.34 acres. Okay.
The comparable number one of the appellants is zoned light industrial.
Talking about land sale number one?
His land sale number one. Okay. Since I can't submit more, I'm just going to tell you about his. That is zoned light industrial. It has no arterial frontage, and it's located in East County and is not comparable.
It's located in East County?
I believe it says Northeast Highway 99.
Highway 99.
Yeah, well, tell me notes. Where is that? Well, then I'm reading the wrong number.
It's 4th Plain.
4th Plain and 156th Avenue.
Yeah.
And that's one of their supposed to be one of their.
Let me see.
They have Northeast 76th Street, Northeast 162nd Avenue, Northeast 15th Avenue.
Okay, so I probably have them in the wrong order. The one in Hazeldale.
9321.
Yeah, the one in Hazeldale is a block off the arterial by the um, um, It's one block off of Highway 99, no direct street frontage, and it is located by the low-income apartments down there on Highway
99. 15th Avenue.
15th Avenue.
Just kind of comparable to Fourth Plank.
Not nearly comparable to Fourth Plank.
It's got a 99 address. So
yeah, I don't know why it does. I have
15th Avenue.
You could pull the parcel up and see
aerial of
it. I have
to tell you, this is really hard to follow when we're just looking at, talking about papers, and we don't have anything to look at. And
I understand.
Nothing to prepare ahead of time and read over.
I understand. I will have it all for the state. It's just I did not have time to prepare these for local.
But you do have evidence.
The map he has shows
no,
the front's right on Highway 99.
Yeah, but it does not.
No, there is.
That is not the parcel. It does not have Highway 99. It looks... If you pull it up on an aerial, you'll see it. But that's not on 99.
Any measurements in their system?
I can't. It's my evidence. But if they pull it up on the aerial, they'll see.
Pull up that property, 144957.
Why do I have the wrong one?
And then why doesn't it looks to me like it fronts 99? Yeah.
That's not a bare land parcel.
Oh.
144957.
That might be a
bare
land parcel.
Okay. All right. My apologies on that one. It fronts Highway 99. Okay.
That's one of his homes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's probably one of ours, too.
I'm sure it's on here.
Okay. This is what they gave.
So I have the wrong one on that one. My apologies. Then we have the comparable that's out in Brush Prairie. That is off of 57th Avenue.
Is this on this list?
Give me the number.
It's his.
What's the account number?
It's on this page. So what's the address on it? Yeah, or something.
And it should be off of 57th Avenue. I don't know that it has
I don't
sense.
Care. Do you have the ID number?
Yep. Give me a
She's not sure. She's looking for the address.
I don't know the ID number. Paperwork for
it's on page 21.
Thank you. I bet it was sale number 5. It was off on 15th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that I... Not the one on Highway 99. That's why I have a different one.
So are you talking about land sale 5 now, or?
Yeah, land sale 5.
Okay. There it is. One, that's four, a block four, off nine, of Highway 99. Three.
That's the one that I was saying was a block off of Highway 99. The Fourth Plain Road is the one that we talked about that was
good.
That one right there must be, it's not 162nd, must be number 3, 76th Street, and then,
do you know which one are you talking about?
Okay, so we did 5, 4, I think we're talking, comparable number 3. Which was, nope, we're not talking about comparable number 3. This piece is comparable number 2 that's zoned light industrial.
67.
Yeah. So, sale number 2 is light industrial. And sale number 3 is off of the 95th and 76th, which is quite a distance from the subject.
This is number 2.
Number 3. No, number 2 is light industrial. It's apples and oranges with the development potential.
Would this be a permitted use in light industrial?
It's on 162nd. That's a pretty main. That's a main
right.
drag.
It is a main. It is a main drag, and it's. But it is. If you pull it up on the aerials, but it is not. Let me find this map on it.
She had it up there a minute ago. She had it up.
159, 145.
So 1 and 5 are in Hazeldale. 2 is the one that's in 5 Corners, which is sort of the Orchards area.
2, that's the 162nd Avenue one?
No. 2 on his map is the light industrial.
Right.
It's 162nd, but he has it 2 here in 5 Corners.
Okay, well, what's...
What is that cross street?
What's the address when you're talking about 5 Corners? Which one do you, which address do you mean?
Well, he has 9502 Northeast 76th Street.
Okay, that's so you're on a 3 then. We were still talking about 2.
Okay. Well, his I'm looking at his. His 2 is his 3 on his map. Mm-hmm. That's what's confusing.
Isn't that property out there by 162nd on the corner, the
yeah.
Safeway store?
Yeah,
and
that
yeah,
is
yeah.
There.
This is Safeway.
Yeah,
right.
And they've developed all this other stuff back in here as a commercial
right.
commercial
right, so
site.
It's not on an arterial, and
fourth
it's not facing any of the direct traffic. It's going to get indirect traffic from Safeway.
You got two parcels in 5 Corners. The map on his page 27 shows the two parcels and the narrow one.
Okay, his map on page 22 shows just one.
Yeah, the two arrows right there, those are the two properties.
Page 27? Oh, yeah.
So page 27 is 104440. It could only be one of those.
I don't think both of those arrows are not on the same property. I think there's
no, they're not on the same property. But
there's no description sheet. I didn't find for the sale there either. There's just this one.
Okay.
The one's on
76.
Yeah, 9502 North is 76 this way. Yeah. So they're quite a distance away. And I agree with Wayne that the best comp is probably this 2.36 acres that sold for the $1,369. It's the only one we have on Fourth Plain. It's east of the subject, but again, it's going to have the same traffic flow, the same, probably the same volume of traffic. It's the only one of the sales that'll have the volume and the street exposure.
I would like to rebut that if I can.
So that's your presentation on this?
No.
Okay,
that's just land.
Go ahead.
Keep in mind
okay.
It's 10 o'clock, so we'll have to, be a little more organized. Otherwise, we'll have to set up. We'll be here the whole day.
Well, the land will be very similar for every one of these parcels. They're all right there at Andreessen, SR 500 and 4th Plain. So they're in a hugely busy hub of Clark County. They're not out in Brush Prairie.
So I don't know
that we'll have to go through the land every time, but I do have comparables if we're doing that. There is a land petition in here that's a little more organized.
Let's stop and focus on your value of land is...
What do you have on this one, Carla?
945 a square foot.
Mm-hmm. You mind if I say just a little bit about the land?
One second.
Okay.
And how do you drive that 945?
Well, one of them is the sale here of the 2.36 acres. And I know that we provided you with a big glom of sales, but we did provide this was in your packet, right?
Show it to me so I can see what it looks like.
Did it look like this?
I did
no,
not.
Do not have that.
I do not.
All right.
Have
so I know these sales were included in Carla's information.
They're in better part of the.
They're part of the big list. So the most.
So we're supposed to go through and cherry pick those to figure out how you got to 945.
No. But I can tell you the three top sales that would have influenced our decision.
Okay.
They're in the packet, and they're worth talking about. So there's a parcel number 158807.
Tell us approximately, where is it on the page?
You have to find it for me, Carla.
158.
Oh, that's the Goodwill one. The 1368 that we talked about.
Okay.
Is so
that towards the top,
comparable.
Or is it?
Probably about 12 down.
Does it say Goodwill on it? Oh, there we go.
14201.
Where is the per acre?
This is...
Okay, got it.
You got it?
Okay.
The second one would be the one that you'll find on Greenwood Drive, which...
Greenwood Drive, huh?
Greenwood Drive, while she's finding where it is on you, or for you, sorry, was a sale. It's down by the... It's closer to the mall, but just a little off of Andreessen.
Where, can you tell us where that is?
And hopefully she has it otherwise.
I don't know where.
Well, I can't talk about it. But
yeah, actually, the address is Greenwood Drive, right?
Yeah, it's a 7701 Northeast Greenwood Drive.
It's not on here.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't find it on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd have to object to that.
It's not on the list.
I'm going to take it off.
Then 6907 Northeast Ward Road.
Okay, Wardrobe.
And that one's right below the one we just, the fourth plane.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So those two.
So, and that parcel sold in February of 16 for $10.92 a square foot. And it's off of Ward Road, again, not fourth plane, but geographically relevant.
Yeah, there's the one that's...
88.
Is Ward Road considered a main arterial? Or?
It's a little more than, you know, some of this back stuff, but it's, again, not as good as 4th Plain, obviously.
That actually is better than 162nd?
It's east. Go ahead, Corona.
That actually is on the corner of 4th Plain and Ward Road.
Oh, okay.
So it does have 4th Plain frontage also.
So it's across from Walmart?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I ask the size of that one?
1.628.
Did you find? Oh, you don't have this sheet, do you?
I do. I kind of made it. I couldn't read that. I made it into bigger sheets.
And lastly, weight would have been placed on. There's a 13919 Southeast Mill Plain. So Mill Plain is in fourth plane, but it's still good street frontage.
13919.
Yes.
Is that so?
Six or seven property?
It's where Hapo built their credit union.
Oh yeah, I know that.
So that one sold for $17.51 a square foot, and it is 2.95 acres.
It's a lot better area than Orchards.
Well, it's more relevant, and the Andreessen Fourth Plain SR 500.
39th and Mill Plain, I mean, that's near Bakery and Wells Fargo and Paul's.
I go by there a lot.
That would be what we based our land sales on most heavily. We would certainly look at a volume of information.
So based on those, you got to 945?
Well, we would base it, I mean, because we are mass appraisal, we would base it on looking at the overall everything. So, but those are ones that certainly represent more closely than the appellants what the land we're talking about here is actually worth.
I would like to rebut whenever possible.
Can I ask a question first?
Sure.
Once you came up with your 945 or whatever it is that the same basic rate, the same basic sales data that fits the land on all of these?
No. No. Because we would extrapolate from that. The base... We use, the assessor's model uses a base rate, let's say $10 a square foot. And then we would go, the further you get off of an arterial, it would be adjusted downward. The larger the parcel, it would be adjusted for that. If our base rate was $10 a square foot in a neighborhood or an area on a 1 acre parcel, as it got bigger or smaller, we would adjust as we're seeing prices go down because it's a larger parcel, or prices go down because it's further away.
So you have to determine the base rate first.
Right.
And then make your adjustments accordingly.
Right. Right. And so you'll see different land values. Some of these properties we'll hear today, we're going to see higher land values as they move closer into Andreessen and SR 500, then the value's going to come up. Procaliber's a little further off, more towards the Orchards area.
And the zoning would, of course, play into that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, the structure.
Can I rebuttal, or do you want me to wait? I can do it quickly if that would help. I would appreciate it.
Chairman.
Sure.
I appreciate it. I'll do it quickly. First of all, as I was explaining, and the appraiser, tell me if I'm wrong, but out of the 58 sales, you're saying there wasn't one closer than 3 miles or so. The only one, in fact, all of the ones you mentioned, I believe, are far more than 3 miles away from the subject. Below that 1092 one you mentioned, you happen to not mention the one that's over 2 acres, that's the closest, about 1.5 miles or so closer, at 5201 Northeast 94th Avenue. That one sold for $771. That's on your list. And that's by far the closest one. There's another up two that are further away, which sold for about 8 and 6, the first two, first, second and third comp you have. And the thing is, we have a comp at 670 a square foot on Northeast Highway. The other one, 650, 595, maybe those need to be adjusted upwards, but they're not going to be adjusted upwards to 945. We believe the ones that we sold for $5 or $6 could be adjusted up to maybe $7 or $8, but not 945. It's very interesting that if they're really basing it on this fourth plane, which is suspicious to me, because I understand it's in your system, but we have it, again, as both parcels. If they believe that this was truly a sale right there, why wouldn't they value the parcel at $13 a square foot? So you have basically none of their comps anywhere near, even that one. And we do have comps that support lower, and their nearest comp supports 77, 771. So, again, it's an issue if they don't have enough similar comps to get near to the value, near the subject, that's all we're saying.
Would you go to that property, that Goodwill property, and then look at the property next door, which is the parcel that she said was split out?
Let's see. Goodwill was 1588.
07-000.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, there's a sale on the one just east of it. It happened in 19, so I didn't mention it, but you can see where they sold out.
This one?
Nope, down. The bigger one sold the 3.02 acres, and the rearage sold for $1,601 a square foot.
So this one?
No, to the right. There you go, that one.
Is this not 4 miles away from the subject? Am I off by a little bit?
Well, I just want to see. See, that's...
Nothing's coming up.
Well, that would take you.
There we go.
So that's all for 2,106.
In 19.
Right. It is. It's newer sale, so I didn't use it.
And how do we know that was part of the original?
Maybe you do you have historical aerials on that? If you went back prior to the sale on 12/21 of 17, so if you looked at the 2016 layer, it should show how it looked.
Get to that.
Can you get historical areas? I never looked.
Sure,
never
if you them. Look at the
map
site. Map site. Do you know how to get to historical areas?
I don't see
we
it.
Don't use maps online, and that's why it's. We use slide view.
Was it a CoStar that you have?
Well, there are no point systems segregating the parcel out for prior to the sale.
Oh. Interesting. Well, you can look at the notes and tabs. That talks about it.
Okay, anything else?
I'm on to the improvement. Ready for that?
Yep.
Okay, so we agree on the cost approach for the dealerships. It's very difficult. Like I said, we broke everything out so that we could segregate it the way Marshall's with them.
You didn't provide us with anything on the cost approach?
Only what we had in the system at the time. But we provided enough for me to talk about quite a few things in Marshall Swift. So
the only thing you provided is just that sheet of comps.
What was in what
the
was
emails,
in the machine.
And then the pictures.
No, there's nothing.
So
there.
There's nothing in there right. About the cost of the email. That's what I thought.
Okay, go ahead.
If we'll start with, so Marshall and Swift is a guide, a cost guide. Our office uses it. There are interpretations everywhere. Nothing is ever black and white. But it does talk in section 1 of page 11 of Marshall and Swift. It says that you need to, on the calculator method, which is what Wayne and our office is using, you have to get the quality of the building right, and then you have to use it together with modifiers for common deviations. So you select the basic cost. You make the refinements to the basic cost from the latest pages of each section, and then you multiply the refined square foot by a current cost modifier, which is updated monthly for Marshall and Swift, and by a local cost modifier. Then that will give you your final cost. So one of the things about each section is, such as the showrooms, that you have to add. They give you a basic amount that covers the concrete tilt-up walls, covers the floors, covers the steel ceiling, covers the quality of the building. And then you have to add for heat. If it varies from the standard type, you have to add for sprinklers, which if it varies from the standard type. There are wall height modifiers. So in other words, it costs less to build an 8-foot high structure than a 24-foot high structure. So your footprint square footage might be $100 a square foot based on a standard 8-foot tall ceiling height. When you go up to a 24-foot tall ceiling height, you have to add a considerable amount to your construction costs. So we have gone through, because our machine adds all of the costs together and the multipliers together that Marshall and Swift dictates that we should use for each type of structure. So a lot of the changes that we saw in these properties that we're doing today were based on us going in and setting a laser on the floor and measuring ceiling height, making sure we had ceiling height right, checking out the heating types, checking out the whether they were 100% sprinklered or whether sprinklers were just in the office, and all the things that Marshall and Swift says that we should do. So on this particular property, they would like to, the appellant calls it a low-cost dealership. If, and he has provided on page 16 the details to call it a low-cost dealership, and the difference being painted walls versus plaster or drywall, few partitions, asphalt tile on the floor. You can look at the photographs and see where they have wood flooring and carpet and ceramic tile. The ceilings are nicely done. It does not talk in Marshall and Swift when you're classing a building about the height of the building, of whether it's a big open showroom, two stories tall, or whether it's an 8-foot showroom. So your base cost comes from a standard height, and then our height multiplier will take it up or down. So we consider this to be an average quality dealership or showroom, and the fit and finish inside is very, very nice, and it's adjusted later for its lack of wall height per Marshall and Swift. Marshall and Swift, now it's 14 feet tall inside the showroom. It's not an 8-foot ceiling, it's a 14-foot tall ceiling. And that is the standard ceiling height for an average quality, according to Marshall and Swift. So the multiplier for the height on that is a 1.0.
What'd you arrive at for a value on the building?
On the total on the building?
On the showroom, or yeah.
Or right. Just, would you like just the showroom?
Well, no, give us the total on the building so we'll know what the value is that you're going to ask for.
So the total on the structure comes up to $3,731,099.
$3,731,099. So what's make your total value?
It makes your total value after the name $4,986,999. Which is over the assessed value, so we are not asking for it to be increased, just maintained.
You just said it's over the assessed value, so we're asking for it to be
maintained.
Which means
$4,491,000
Yes.
Okay. So you're okay.
We're not asking for
what was it? It's $4,981,000 What?
I'm sorry. I'm confused. I have the Marshall and Swift that they provided for every property.
Mm-hmm.
The data card.
The reason that it's different is because it was we submitted what we had because we had not put in all the details that we went and picked up at the time that we had to submit evidence. So we needed to submit the basis for what the, that's what the basis.
Your appraisers, all your appraisers went out and did their analysis and then came up with this.
No, that was
that is pre our doing the getting the analysis into
that's
the machine.
That's just a regurgitation of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
We have no idea how you got to those values. See, I'm trying to avoid going to the state. They were actually, I appreciate the fact last year they didn't go to the state. If it doesn't work out for us at all this year, I mean, they're offering some, we'll obviously go to the state and we have to get appraisals. If we get a tremendous amount of reductions, I have a feeling they might go to the state. I'm trying to base my information off our, what we have as cost reports. When I look at their information, you're saying it didn't include everything. Like their data card right now has the showroom at $116 a square foot.
And that is when we show on the data card the $116 or $160 a square foot, that's the culmination of the base unit price of $102 plus $2.54 a square foot for the sprinklers. The heating.
The heating's in
then
there.
Then we have the economic life at 0.63%.
What's the value of one of their main showrooms?
The value.
No, one of their main showrooms that they have they built as a showroom.
That's where you're going to find unbelievable contradictions in what they're doing. They have, for example, exact same properties that are newer at $141 for the showroom, and other ones at $230 beginning, which is almost unheard of in any respect. And those are actually older. We'll get into those discrepancies because I have the property data card that they provide, and they say that's not our information. But what I don't get is how is that not information? How can you have one dealership at $140 a square foot and one at $240 that's older and not as nice as the one that's $140? And when it's our turn, I would like to explain in detail about how these really are valued. And our Marshall & Swift is a suggestion, and it does not tell you to use every one of these factors, but I'll explain that.
Not feeling good about this because we're having to basically start from scratch with your information and redo the whole packet. And I don't think this is the place to do that. I mean,
I'm kind of curious because we're looking at, I'm familiar with Marshall and Swift, used it a lot. We're talking about automotive service centers and showrooms and this and everything. This original building was built as a retail store.
Yeah, it was a.
So, is there some
supermarket
whole thing
like
where that comes into play that we come back and look at it as a retail construction versus an auto showroom? Is there a real difference within Marshall Swift, or is it not worth considering?
Yeah, well.
I know they sell motorcycles and bikes and whatever.
They've completely remodeled it since the grocery store days.
So I do want to say that back to Wayne's protest is that, you know, as far as Carla and I are concerned, we're just trying to get it right. And again, I apologize that we couldn't get it right beforehand. But we know 100% of our data is correct now. There were four of us measuring and re-measuring and making sure we were double-checking each other. So now that we have the information right, I think that's what we're about, is trying to get these values correct. And again, it would have been great had I been 2 weeks earlier than when I was.
We had like 4 months, I believe. But we actually, I think, postponed these one time. We had an incredible...
I was going to ask, have we postponed this before, and should we postpone it again?
Yeah. Well, we've already... They have four months.
No, I agree. It should be prepared by this point.
I get that.
I do want to say, though, that just in general, doing dealerships is very difficult to do. And the point is that most counties will not take every single multiplier. And the reason they come in, this is what I was going to get to. When you say, why am I coming in a little higher than this and that? For example, the showroom, I was going to come in. They're coming at some of the showrooms at 140. We're coming at 100 on C average. The point is, if you're very conservative, you might say, hey, maybe it's in between good and average. Maybe you do want to have one of the multipliers. But when it comes to dealership, this is not like, you don't take the exact multiplier. This is not industrial where there's a clear height means everything. And Marshall Smith doesn't say to you. So most counties will be reasonable and say, look, just use the basic multiplier, see if it's good. Maybe use one multiplier, not because it's reasonable with dealerships. And they depreciate even faster than Marshall Swift gives. So it's very complicated, but it is unfair, and most counties don't go to the point of saying, hey, let's use every single exact multiplier and exact way to do it. And just this is why some of their property data cards have a showroom at $240 square foot. That's hardly ever done for the year they're built. They have more correct at $140. So I'm just saying, in general, I don't know how to resolve this matter now, but I don't know.
So Lisa asked about a showroom, or was it you, Dan?
This is Stop.
Dan, sir.
Let me ask you, Marshall and Swift is replacement cost, is that not correct? Mm-hmm. It's replacement cost today, and then your supposedly depreciation takes that into account, but you're using replacement cost today and then depreciating it based on the age of the building.
Correct.
Okay. I'm not prepared to continue like this. It just doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
We're not getting any kind of a fair presentation of information to us in any fashion whatsoever. And I'm going to ask both parties what their preference would be, and we'll make a decision going forward. What would your preference be at this point in time?
Oh, boy. Just not sure what to do here. But the problem is, if we decide that we want to go forward, does that prevent the board from deciding? Don't you have the decision of whether to postpone it or not anyway? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the decision, I really leave it up to you at this point.
It was scheduled back in October. I think right. It was October 14th. And I was asked to push it out, and I pushed it out.
Because the county wasn't ready?
I think...
Well, not only... We actually agreed to postpone it. The thing was that it's not only more than enough time they've had, but the issues with Lonnie, and they did have appraisers go out there and measure it, and they could have easily sent the information in time. I will say that what's interesting is that, you know, if the board decides just to take things into account and set values at a certain point, I can tell you that we will absolutely be more than willing to negotiate values if they file to the state, meaning if there's certain levels that we believe that we're going to get increased a little bit, the state, or higher than the board, we absolutely have no problem. We're trying to do that this time. I don't know if it's possible to work out values now. Maybe that's a possibility. I don't know if you're willing to do that, but as I was saying, I haven't gone over with Mary, I haven't gone over with them these values that now we, instead of in our packets, that we are willing to maybe go to. So I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if we want to take half an hour to see if
you
we
can resolve this in a half hour.
No.
Yeah.
Well, and I did tell you all of the, I did on our phone call, Wayne, tell you all of the things that needed to be lowered. And you have all of those values.
Right, and I'll be honest, some of them were only coming in like 300,000 less than you. The problem is some of them were coming in a million still, or a million and a half lower. So the problem is there's certain dealerships that are still issues, certain aren't. One, we were going to agree to your value. Two of them were just a land case that ended up being because they came in lower in improvement. So we're reasonable as far as two were going to be a land case. One we were going to agree to. Two, we weren't that far off. And there was about another three that we are quite far off. So, yeah, we were getting close, but I don't know.
I would like to just say that you say we're going to negotiate. We're the assessor's office. We're required by law to be at market value. So...
Well, when I say
market value,
I know what
you
mean.
We're trying to determine what market value is.
Right. When I say negotiate,
well, right, but
I
we're not going to just.
That's not what I.
Negotiation.
I think you know what I mean. I mean, if I point out, the point is, I try to point
unless
out,
you can sell everything, you can't prove market value.
but the thing is, when I say negotiate, I mean when I don't know what your new evidence is. I was when I called Mary, I said, look, you have the showroom at $240 a square foot. Obviously, that's not correct. It sort of seems as built in 1995. So. That's what I'm saying. I was going off information. You're right. I don't have the information, so I'm going to negotiate. I mean, like, let me maybe see the new information and figure that out. But at this point, because it's been postponed and more than enough time, I mean, honestly, I know that the owner of my company would have me recommend just to go for it at this point. But that's all I can say.
I think with the kind of preparation this takes, and it wasn't done, that the county's lost their opportunity to, you can't verbally come in on commercial properties and, you know, be scrambling through your sheets and talking to each other and, oh, this one isn't right. And I mean, it's,
sure. I'm fine with that.
I think they've had more than one opportunity to get.
Here's the situation, and that is that if we set a value which the assessor doesn't agree with, and they appeal it, they're going to have all that time to put their ducks in a row and present it to the state at that point in time. And the state does have a requirement that there is a concerted effort between the two parties to come to a resolution before it gets to the state. Right. And everybody knows that it's going to take you a couple years to get to the state, at least a couple years to the state. So it's probably in everybody's best interest to try to come to a resolution. So, I mean, my feeling is that we set a value and let somebody decide whether they're going to appeal it to the state, because this is nonsense. We're not going to, regardless of how good your information is and anything else, we don't have anything to look at. We haven't had anything to study. It's going to fall on deaf ears to a great extent.
I don't blame you.
And it's not in the best interest of the assessor's office. It may not be in the best interest.
And just so the board knows, I mean, we will absolutely try to resolve it before it goes to the state.
Yeah, we could tell you wanted, when you first came in, you said prefer to resolve it.
Yes, I mean, there's so much cost, time, appraiser. I mean, there's so much involved that on the basis of our client, too, getting maybe more of a market value together would be make sense, yes.
I think it would be really beneficial for me in trying to decide on where this stuff is if I could simply see a listing of the properties with the values down. If you've changed values requested, no, I'd like to see that. If you've changed values assessed, I'd like to see that, so that we can maybe come to some kind of agreement and get this going.
I would be more than glad to read what I will recommend at the state anyways. There are some that right is right. So
I don't think it's going to make any difference. It's not going to make any difference to me to see that unless we have a full-blown appeal and time to study it ahead of time.
And next year, I'm not telling anybody how to do your jobs, but come prepared.
Lisa, when this gets something this big gets dropped on my desk in August in the middle of new construction, I am doing the best I can.
Well, that's something you have to take up with Peter.
We have spent 2 months.
Yeah, that's
doing
something you have to take up with Peter.
Nothing but Decanna.
Right. Well, you just have to take that up with Peter. When you get to us, that's all we're asking.
Yeah.
Just come prepared. So maybe, I don't know what you have to do. But
we will be prepared at the state level, and that's fine. We're just doing the best we can. We do have other customers.
The Umpqua Bank property is 100% complete can be heard today. All the evidence was sent out prior to, you have all the evidence. This one, we were able to spend time on.
I believe that's true on that one, if the board would like to hear that one.
I don't care.
Is that the only one of all the properties?
What's the number on it?
Is it about the two different ones?
158, 144 is the parcel number.
That's the second part of this package.
Okay. Yes, it's in the same folder. Okay.
It's 396.
Six. You said what?
158-144.
Okay. It's got a vacant parcel along with it, which is 158-108. The two parcels next to each other.
So we're doing both together?
Mm-hmm.
Both together what?
158-108 and 158-144. They're the other parts of this first.
They're contiguous.
Yes.
There's an empty lot next to the bank.
Got it.
Okay. All right, let me read the numbers in so that we are on the same page. Okay, so now we're going to do, this is Procaliber Real Property, LLC. This is petition number 180-39604 for account 158-108000, and also petition number 180-39704 for account number 158-144000. you're all three still under oath, so you just want to proceed?
Yes.
I don't know.
Let Wayne go first.
Okay. This case.
I am, but I'm trying to get my stuff together here.
The.
What together?
Stuff.
I'm trying to get all the stuff I had pulled out.
The stuff.
On the other side.
The, sorry. This property, again, Acer stands on its own, but the reason why we bring up again, the value was reduced from a little over $1 million to about $731,000 the prior year, is the same issues to us are the same this year. The value this year,
page two.
And again, this is a
the same page two
retail building, yes. So the current value, $1,113,100, $168.47 a square foot. But as I was saying, the same exact issues, you can see that our value we're looking for based on the actual income of the property is $656,866, which is a little bit less than even the last year's reduction. You will notice, though, that we have supplied all approaches. Our other approaches do support a higher value than what we're looking for, still lower than what it's on for. We have a sales comparison approach, cost approach, which is secondary because this is a typical retail, which you want to look at sales or income. But on this one, not only do we have the actual income expenses, but we have pro forma on other lease rates in the area that support this value. I can tell you that without going into it because I know I'm not going to rebuttal now. I'm telling the main issue on this is going to be, I believe they're looking at as income, but then somehow adding excess land to the value, which is not really done. I think our lease rate's even higher than theirs. I'm not sure, you don't really buy a property based on what it's making and then throw in some extra land value that's being used, but that's, so.
The land is being used as parking lot, is it?
I believe, well, I'm confused about the land because I don't know if our parcel, is there a way to?
No, it is being used as, half of it's being used as parking lot.
Like
the back half is completely unimproved. Well, it's gravel parking lot, but I think Pro Caliber down the street uses that to park their cars or their motorcycles and stuff. It's confusing.
Ours might be in
Ferrari.
See, our pictures have the building in the middle of both parcels. Is that incorrect? We might be incorrect.
No, the buildings.
I don't
know.
Buildings
about
up
that.
Front.
The buildings. Let's see. This is the cafe.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
See, look.
Yeah.
See how
half
the building.
Yeah.
Half
yeah.
The
I was thinking about the cafe. Sorry.
So it's not. I mean, we can get into it eventually, but there's no issue of you're not going to sell it. Hey, here it is on the income stream. Put another $300,000 on it, I'm going to sell it. Here's some little land in the back. I mean, it uses parking. The very little land in the back can't be worth $300,000. Anyway, so I'll go quickly because I think that'll be the main issue instead of going everything. If you
have a change to this value, or is this the value you're asking?
We are asking for the value of the six,
656.
Yeah, and like I said, you can go through this. We supply the actual
and
income
the
expenses.
Difference between the actual and the pro forma is based on other rental rates in the area.
Right, so if you take, I think obviously it's, you want to maybe do a combination of both, because I believe it would sell for the actual, but if we're going to look at market basis, these are more for lease, which could be even lower. Current right, lease rates are a little bit higher maybe, but it still supports lower, correct?
Okay.
So,
okay, go ahead.
You do understand that Pro Caliber paid $2,400,000 for this in 2016.
All right. Can you show me the sales deeds or whatever you have?
It's on the evidence I sent you.
This one of those that was included in
the
$7
very
million.
First 16.
No,
million.
This was weeded
yeah.
down
right there with $2,500,000.
So this is probably one of the worst purchases in the history of mankind, mm-hmm. because if
yeah.
the actual income and expenses that they're actually receiving, based on the cap rates we've given here, support a value of about $700,000, and that was a terrible purchase. That's all I can say. I don't know how else to. If that's really what they paid, I don't get it, but that's what it is.
Do we know who it was purchased from?
Don't tell him I said that.
I know last year the purchase of one of these properties down there was
I could be
so
wrong.
Suspect it was not even funny. $7 million for
yeah.
something
oh,
that was
worth. Oh, that was the old Value Village.
No.
The
was it?
No,
it was
the
Subaru.
not Kia, but Subaru? Back there by Subaru,
I don't know what was involved in the sale, but I'll take back what I said because I don't want the client thinking. I said that's what, I don't get it because they even value the property based on the income and an excess land. I mean, I'm just going by their evidence.
I can't come up with a name, but I'm 95% sure it was an investment company.
First independent bank.
Okay.
It was a quick claim deed. Hang on. Statutory warranty.
There you go. They paid trust.
Independent. Or that plain
investment.
That's
13.
13, yeah.
That's too old. Oh, wait. Where does this go forward? There's 16.
So yeah, it was an investor.
Fourth plain investment.
And it's got two long-term tenants in there. Vern Kronk.
Do you have an excise tax that you can get to?
You should be able to see the excise. No. Junk. There you go.
16, there it is.
He's got 216.
Hmm? Oh. Weird. So you can view the document or view the excise.
View the excise tax.
I'm sorry.
Scroll down and see the top.
Yeah. Yeah, it shows that they bought those two parcels. So.
Okay.
Investor to investor.
All right, what else do you want to tell us about?
Just real quick, and this concerns the, they talk about bracketing in their evidence. They talk about their sales bracketing. They talk about bracketing a number of times in here, which is excellent. The only problem is they talk about it here. When you have, for example, I wonder if they had 58 land sales that didn't get near the size of the subject. That's not bracketing. So I would just like to ask the attorney, if you're so interested and important to bracket, which I agree with, why couldn't we bracket and get land sales that were higher on some other properties? But that's irrelevant in this case. I just want to let you know they're using bracketing here, which is correct, and I appreciate that. Of
so
sales,
they're not consistently using it all the way across the board.
That's kind of what I'm saying on other properties. But this one they are using and talking about it. So I appreciate that. I'm saying on this one.
This is a different type of property. It's an office building.
We're talking about any kind of sales, bracketing the size or the sum. That's all. That's all we're saying.
And I did do that.
Not on the size of the land sales on dealerships, but that's...
A dealership and an office building is a separate property.
But you still bracket. I mean, that's the basic.
And I did bracket. No. I bracketed for this property.
This one, yes.
Okay. Okay, so we've got the 2016 sale. I've got other office sales in here that support the value of the property, price per square foot. I mean, they range... Let's see, I think I kind of did a write-up. Let's see. 17 sales bracket the subject property in size from 3,400 to 8,400. The subject's 5,000 square feet. I'm rounding off. Sale dates range from March of 16 to March of 19. Sale price is $650 to $2.9 million with a low of $143.27 per square foot to a high of $476. And this is not taken into account the subject sale in 2016. So I'm bracketing the properties.
Is this something you submitted?
Yeah, it should be all
is
in the package.
This?
Yeah, mine's black and white, but yours is. You've got land sales, rents, and new sales. So this is, I've got 17 improved sales, office sales. One other thing that needs to be said is when Wayne did his analysis, I'm using office rates, sales, etc. He used retail rates, etc. Sales. Everything was retail for him. And this is an office building. So.
Wait a minute, is one of them is a bank?
One's a bank and one's a Vern Funk insurance office.
Insurance office.
And those two tenants have been in there. Vern Funk's been in there 6 years and Umpqua was in there before that, probably under different names. I think First Independent, Sterling or something. They've changed names, but they've been in there quite a while.
Bank is retail.
Bank, I disagree with that. Bank is office.
Bank is retail. Sorry, okay. I work
in. Can I just say one thing? Their income approach, just if you'll notice, I mean, according to what I'm looking at, tell me if I'm wrong, your income approach is basically saying this property on an income basis is worth only $470,000 and you add the land value. I mean, it's not, correct? That's what I'm saying. I think your rental rate's even lower than us.
$470,000. That's based on Vern Funk alone. It's on this one. That's based on Vern Funk alone, because the assessor's office, we do strictly the cost approach on financial institutions, because there's so much trade name and personal property and everything, including the sales typically.
And they often sell with the deposits too. We can't.
Oh, I take it back. I see what you mean. That's based on only half the building. Well, I will say this, at least on this one, you definitely seem to have the time to put a lot of evidence together, so appreciate that at least.
So the income approach that we did in 2018, and we'll agree to, because that was before we went out and remeasured the building. And it was before we got a interior inspection of the bank, which took some doing. And they have a complete finished basement downstairs that we knew there was a basement, but we thought it was a concrete storage basement. It's finished down there. Half of it's finished. They've got a lunchroom and bathrooms and stuff down there. So this is before all of that's into consideration. The top income approach is what was already on file that, you know, we will stand by.
But the bottom, the lower one is the corrected
one,
with
yeah.
all the information corrected.
Okay. Anything else on that one?
I have nothing.
Okay, the rest of them, we have nothing other than what was presented.
The rest of them, all the most complete.
Okay.
That means I'm going home early.
That means we might get to go home on time.
Well, yeah, that's good.
No, just the one before.
Do you want to close the
door? Yeah. Can I say one quick thing about the appraiser office in general? This is one of the better appraiser offices as far as actually at times offering reductions on other property or working with us at times in Washington. I mean, because Washington is very notorious for being very difficult in other counties. So I do give them credit in one sense. I mean, they just gave us an offer on a, you know, senior living facility. But so, I mean, at least I just want to point that out, that I wish other Washington offices would at least work with us at times as they do at times.
You guys want anything else?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, close the hearing.